Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
This is where I get sensible. Listen now. Oh, don't act like you don't know the words. Come on, say. Place to go. 611, the Steve Cochran Show. Hell no place to go. Show number 874. On Twitter at Cochran Show, Facebook.com, Steve Cochran Show, 312-981-7200, phone calls and texts. Monday where I am, how about you? Yeah? Monday, pretty much everywhere.
Central time.
Got a case of the Mondays.
Okay. We can jump right into the top six at six here. And Dean will be on later. Q's on later, as Dave just said. And when the Cubs tied it last night in the ninth, didn't you go, well, of course, here we go.
Yeah. It's the same old Cubs.
Three runs.
Yep.
So the difference is Cardinals actually won at the bottom of the ninth. But if you're the Cardinal fans, you had to go, what the? What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What? You know, because Cardinal fans were staying up late. Mm-hmm. It's a school night. It's about 11 o'clock by the time the game
was 11, about 10 after 11, I think.
So there you go.
The game ended. Yeah.
So Cubs lose the opener, but they scared the Cardinals, so you got some kind of win there. It's like in hockey. They ought to get a point for it.
Well, yeah, they should. And look, they're still going to go, what, 161-1? So that's not bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember I got out of the prediction game.
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
You did well at it, though, about three quarters of the way through the season.
That was how long ago?
Mm-hmm.
And Hawks lose to Boston yesterday. In the big picture, it doesn't matter. It's good for the Bruins if you're a Bruin fan. If you are, please leave town. There are a lot of Bruin fans at the game yesterday.
How about that?
Yeah, what's that about?
No. I don't know, Hawk fans selling their soldiers.
They're getting ready for the playoffs. They're in playoff mode already.
And do we know when the playoffs start?
We don't know exactly, but figure a week from Tuesday or Wednesday, somewhere around there.
Regular season, we got three more on the road?
Three on the road, Colorado, Anaheim, and Los Angeles.
Let's still got to figure out who the Hawks are playing in the first round.
Looks like Nashville at the moment.
Because Nashville got in last night. A spot around midnight.
Yeah, they're holding that second wild card. I got to double check because it's been kind of neck and neck with them. There's three teams. Mm-hmm. St. Louis right now is holding that three spot. So that leaves two other teams battling.
Nashville and Calgary?
Nashville and Calgary. And so we'll update that.
I was listening to Ro on Friday with Anna, and Violetta was wondering where Calgary was. It's still in Canada. They haven't moved it.
Come on. You're joking.
Yeah. No, it's in Canada.
Yes, Calgary's in Canada. Yeah. It is and always has been.
I told her not to dye her hair blonde. Mm. It's 6:13. That's a joke, by the way. I feel like I have to tag all these now. That's a joke. It's 6:13. Let's do the top six.
It's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
The top six at six on 720 WGN.
Another big week in D.C. Remember when politics were boring? Remember when people talked about sports and other things in life? Now it's nothing but politics. Another big week involving the Supreme Court vote that the Democrats may still block. Here's the thing on this, and this makes my life easier. Both sides are wrong. Mm-hmm. Mitch McConnell's wrong. Boy, Chuck Todd was great yesterday. Chuck just beat the heck out of Mitch McConnell yesterday. And then Amy Schumer's cousin, Chuck Schumer.
Yes.
Is it cousin or uncle?
It's a cousin.
So you got to be based on relativity, right?
Yes.
Chuck's an old guy.
A little older, yes.
So Chuck Schumer came on, and he had no defense for the Democrats blocking this either. Look, Neil Gorsuch is qualified to take the Antonin Scalia seat. And I maintain the Democrats could score points by doing the right thing where the Republicans did the wrong thing. But if they decide to blow this up and one of the two more liberal judges also steps aside in the next year or two, well, now what do you got? Especially if the ability to filibuster goes away. But Mitch McConnell is going to make this work no matter what it takes. He's the best. So McConnell's wrong and Schumer's wrong. The vote will probably take place on Friday.
Schumer actually wants him to change the nominee again.
Which is ridiculous.
Said
that, it's not going
to
happen.
The press as well.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. No. Just ridiculous. Next, Chinese president will be in town. Will be in country, I should say, to meet with Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago this week. He doesn't golf, which normally I would say I can't trust you if you don't golf. But I know a lot of people that don't golf that I do trust. Mm-hmm. So if I back that down just a touch, even during Masters week, they're going to go to Mar-a-Lago, and during the entire week, you're going to go, you sure you don't want to go hit balls? Are you sure?
Right.
We can go. We can work on your swing. Because I can't believe Donald Trump's going to be at Mar-a-Lago and not sneak away and play a little golf.
Did you hear, too, now that he's coming, the security, of course, is going to be crazy, and people around Mar-a-Lago are getting upset now. There's, the small community, the town surrounding it. Because they basically shut down everything, the parking, the streets.
Yeah, and it's costing a lot of money locally there, too. So they say they're going to hit the White House, the country, or Trump with a big tax bill. We'll see where that goes as well. The bigger problem, of course, is North Korea. And yesterday, Trump did an interview with the Financial Times and said, if China doesn't handle it, we will. And do you remember during the campaign when he said he had a secret plan to take care of ISIS?
I do remember that.
And remember Simon Bar Sinister and Underdog fought over the secret plan? He now says he has a secret plan to take care of North Korea.
Good, good.
So as long as he's got a secret plan, I know I feel better. My new favorite guy is this former FBI agent. Chip Watts? You know the guy I'm talking about, Buzzcut FBI agent? He's all over the news now. He's a guy that came out last week and said, follow the trail of the dead Russians.
Clint Watts,
that's it. And Clint Watts doesn't smile. I don't believe he has those muscles in his face. He's a former FBI agent, and he's deadly serious about everything. He laid out yesterday, brilliantly, how the Russians engaged in a campaign of flooding Donald Trump's Twitter account with fake news stories. And then having those fake news stories, not just by Trump, but by his people as well, be propagated out. That's the true definition of fake news. And they used him. They actually monitored Trump's, we have proof of this somehow. I don't understand the technology. But we have proof of the fact that when Trump was tweeting and online, his timeline would get bombed with a bunch of fake news stories, which is where a lot of that stuff came from. Mm-hmm. So Clint Watts, former FBI agent, he has got to get a TV series with a love interest and a cute kid next door. Next.
He looks a little like a young Jeff Goldblum, doesn't he?
He's shorter and meaner.
I think he doesn't smile because he's seen the Book of Secrets, too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think he's seen them all.
No, Steve, that's a good point. I don't know too many ex-FBI, CIA types who probably are hilarious.
Yeah, I think he knows some bad stuff.
I like him. As I said, Hawks head for the playoffs, number one seed in the West. We'll know more about that later this week. And, of course, the big sports story next, Masters Week.
Woo!
Spring is officially here. It's Masters Week.
Yes.
And Jim Nance is returning to Augusta.
After tonight.
After tonight's championship game, which is the other big story. Who you got?
Gonzaga.
Wow.
I think it's their year.
Well, they've been there 18 times, right? They haven't been to the championship game.
Yeah, a little more than that, but the first championship game. I think the way they're playing, I think North Carolina was the way they were shooting free throws at the end of that game. I mean, North Carolina's probably, if they were played nine times, probably would win, I don't know, 7 out of 9 or something. But I just think it's Gonzaga's year.
It'd be a cool story.
It would be.
You know what was weird? Were the kids from Oregon, and I don't know if it was their green jerseys that messed them up there at the end, because they were certainly messing me up. But the Oregon kids at the end, you know what they look like? They look like you when you were coaching your son's or your daughter's 10-year-old basketball team. It's like, as soon as we cross half court, throw it!
Yeah.
Just throw it up!
Yeah.
Over and over again. Terrible shot choices.
Yeah, but they still had, they got it down a chance at the end to win the game.
And the kid was too tired to box out.
Well, that was the problem. They couldn't get an offensive. Yeah. They couldn't get a rebound there, and North Carolina got those two offensive rebounds at the end. Can we just make one request about Masters Week, by the way?
The picks are coming.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm looking forward to that. But can we ask the TV viewers not look for rules violations and send them in?
Yeah, we had another one this weekend.
Yeah, Lexi Thompson. I mean, it's just...
Well, the PGA said they were going to look at that rule and possibly change it, but I don't know if they did or not this year. I thought they did. I could be wrong, but the PGA Tour, I thought, adjusted that rule, the LPGA.
I hope they did.
And then finally this.
No, Steve, that's just Springfield.
Got it.
We have paper.
Got it. And speaking of Springfield, the comptroller, Susana Mendoza, was offended by something I said on the air last week, and it kind of turned into a thing. So in an effort to put an end to it, the thing, I have a few other things to say about it, about an hour at 7:20. It's a tradition unlike any other. Jim Nantz goes from tonight, where he inexplicably gives away his tie. At the end of the championship tonight, he'll go up to the most valuable player as he sees it from the winning team, take off his tie and hand it to him, and the kid from that team will go, thanks.
We should actually pick who we think will get Jim Nantz's tie.
I hope it's the big white kid that went to class the next day. What's his name?
Luke May.
Yeah, Luke May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be good.
But he's been doing it for 20, 25 years?
But no one was really aware of it until last year.
Yeah. So look for the confused look of the kid. And then right after that, the coveted One Shining Moment montage.
Which, by the way, I believe for the first time this year will feature the Northwestern Wildcats.
How about that? I think it should be all cats.
I do, too.
A Cats highlight film leading up to whatever the winning basket is tonight, and then that's it.
They ought to have that missed goaltending call against Gonzaga.
Right. Right, right. Tonight, different version, though. They're going to do it in hip-hop. Going to clean it up a little bit.
Chicken-pum.
Hey, apparently, this is the reason that we're playing the Masters music. This golf season, we have a championship contest. It's the Majors Madness, and I know Vanderbilt's all over this. It's
there.
Majors Madness, sponsored by the 2017 BMW Championship.
Cool.
You go to WGNRadio.com/contest and register. You're challenged to pick the golfers you think are going to finish first through 10th for each tournament. You go, well, how do I do that? That's a lot of golfers.
Mm-hmm. It's good, though.
It is good. First through 10th gives you a lot of shots to win.
Absolutely.
First place winner after every tournament wins a pair of tickets to the 2017 BMW Championship back at Conway Farms this September 12th through the 17th. You can register and play Majors Madness, sponsored by the BMW Championship at WGNRadio.com/contest. Mary, here's your early warning. We'll do our Masters picks on Wednesday.
Oh, I have time to research.
And I'm leaning towards a special celebrity contestant for each of the tournaments.
We get paired up with somebody? What?
Don't write the rules.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. So, Mary, you have someone to thank?
I do. There's the Chicago Chocolate Show. Is on Saturday, Sunday, April 2nd and 23rd at the Stephen Bailey Auditorium in the West Loop. You can go to the chicagoevents.net to get tickets. They are going to be dropping off chocolate every week leading up until this event. And last week they gave us Terry's Toffee, which is my favorite toffee on the planet.
I'm sorry, wait, who did they give that
Where
to?
Did I didn't see any,
didn't
Terry's,
see any
toffee.
Terry's
Toffee. Well,
toffee.
Here's the thing.
Wait, is there chocolate? What?
Well, here we go. They gave it to me and it was Friday.
Uh-huh. And we weren't here, I suppose.
I wasn't going to, yeah. And so I, you know, because we were here late because we had a producer's meeting. So.
Yeah, and it's impossible to find you guys.
I was here really
late. This building
late
is huge.
Mm-hmm. So I took it home because I knew that I would eat it.
And
that was, you know what? You took one for the team. That was
you could have
right.
saved it
you,
over the I weekend. I know Andrea has been, you know, working out a lot or whatever. She doesn't
TV.
Like the toffee,
right? That's true. And I was at TV and Friday.
Now, how about the irony here? Sandberg does yoga for a couple hours, uh-huh. pretty much every day.
Yeah,
you know, yoga for me now is getting out of a chair.
Yes,
and you have toffee Friday. Well, the Apt people, Steve Shapiro and everybody from Apt. Sent me a giant edible bouquet of fresh fruit.
I know.
Sweet.
We knew they were
really
doing
nice.
It. That
so I'm
nice.
Popping fruit at the house, and you're wolfing down
know
toffee.
I like the fruit. I know.
They sent you a little like yogurt, too, right, to go with it?
No, yogurt sold separately.
Okay, sorry.
Funny about the toffee and yoga, because Pat and I went to Bikram on Saturday. He went to his first Bikram class. It's 90 minutes, 105 degree heat.
He must really like you.
Oh, God.
So, well, it's good for him, because you're going to start doing Bikram, too,
yeah,
I think.
You told me.
And then we got home, and I started to eat a piece of toffee. And I said, do you want one? He's like, are you kidding me? We just did 90 minutes of yoga, and now you want me to eat toffee, like, undo all our work.
It's your reward for doing all the work. That's what I always say.
Yeah, I need balance.
But I remember, you know, a good hard workout Well, it's hard to remember now as days go on, but
right.
I got a hard workout. I eating something sweet afterwards kind of make me sick.
That's why you have to wait about an hour or so and then have something.
So that's where that comes from? Sure.
So where's the chocolate hiding?
So back to the chocolate.
We're getting chocolate
every day.
You guys want to visit
me at my house in Northfield?
Yeah, I try to just try to get them off this topic.
The next chocolate shipment, whatever they bring us next week, you can have.
We need Valium for the seventh floor and chocolate
anyway,
for the first floor.
Thank you for the Terry's Toffee.
And thank you, Apt, for the gigantic edible bouquet. I think it's huge.
Delish, yeah.
The size of a yacht.
They were very concerned about you. Steve Shapiro was texting, asking about you.
Well, Steve and I were supposed to go to the game yesterday.
Oh.
And we ended up giving away the tickets to our to Amy and to Jason Shapiro because I didn't, you know, it wasn't the right thing for me to do yet to go out and have a field trip.
Right. You don't want to make a public appearance yet.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. That's fine. Yeah.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
6:41, and it's Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better.
He's from Central.
And good morning to you, Doc. How are you?
Hey, Steve, it's Masters Week. How could you not be great?
It's a tradition unlike any other.
Yes.
He should do something, Nance, I'm talking about, Jim Nance. He gives away the tie, right? And the Masters are all about the jacket.
Yep.
He should have a second tie that he gives away to the winner of the Masters and a pair of pants to go with a green jacket. So I think it'd be a cool tradition if at the end of the Masters, there in Butler Cabin, Jim Nance stood up, removed his pants, and presented those to the winner of the Masters as well.
Wow.
That'd be fine.
Then it would really be a tradition unlike any other.
I don't think the powers that be at Augusta would really go for
Hootie's
that.
Not there anymore. It'll
be
fine.
That's true.
Doc,
you know, they changed a tradition this year, which really upset me.
Which one?
The par three contest now is only allowed for past champions and players. So it used to be if you won the par three or if you were a U.S. amateur champ or a British amateur champ, you would come back as an honored guest. That's how I got to caddy in the par three.
Right.
And they changed that this year.
Why would they do that?
Melnick, I don't know. Mr. Melnick is not invited to play. He's invited to be a guest, but not invited to play in the par three.
Well, that's
so
dumb.
That's dumb. Disappointing.
It certainly made sense many years ago now when they said past champions' eligibility is based on their ability to walk the golf course because it got tough.
Yeah.
And it's a very hilly place. If you've ever been, you know how beautiful it is, but it's very hilly, and television doesn't do it justice. But the par three is a piece of cake, and everybody likes to see all the champs.
Plus, it's fun. Cool. The kids usually caddy, too. The kids are out there.
Hey, I caddied. I wasn't a kid when I caddied.
Yeah, but you're immature.
You're still a kid.
Yeah, you're immature. You got that going for you. All right. Now, there's an important topic to discuss here, and it's organ donation. But before we get to that, again, just one last time for now, at least, I want to publicly thank all of your people at CDH for taking good care of me.
Well, you're welcome. We take good care of everybody who comes here. So it wasn't just because you're a celebrity or anything. You know, it's we just have great nurses, great docs here. I'm very fortunate to be associated with them for, you know, creeping up on 30 years here. So
wait a minute.
Lucky.
Hold it. Wait a minute.
Are
you telling me I got no special treatment whatsoever? What?
Well, the crab legs for breakfast.
What?
That was a little special. But,
what?
Yep.
Was it weird when you said to everybody, do you know who I am? Yes. In your hospital gown? Hello?
Yes, they said, yes, you're Steve.
Cover
and
up.
Then they said, show me your bracelet. no, but just great, great hospital and great folks, and thank you for that. For everybody, a lot of people, very nice checking in, and I'm doing fine. It's not something you want, but I'm coming back.
Good.
So if you have these symptoms, don't ignore them. Get it checked out. And if you got a little hereditary blood thing like I have, and your blood likes to clot more than it should, just get after it. Get after it and get on it.
Yeah.
So the only change in my life is a couple of pills a day. So now they're big.
Thank God. I mean, because, you know, obviously the alternative could have been a lot worse.
Oh, yeah.
A couple extra pills a day.
Yeah, the alternative generally is dead.
Yeah.
So that's not what you want.
I was going to say, we'd rather see you than view you. So.
Yeah. Isn't that the Orion line?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Doc, what are the symptoms, again, the classic symptoms prior to getting a PE?
You know, unexpected shortness of breath is probably one of the biggest ones, some chest pain, and like you, this feeling of just something's not right, something's uncomfortable. But the unexpected shortness of breath is, you know, probably the biggest one, and chest pain.
Yeah. All right. Good times. 6:45, we'll come back and talk about organ donation. And by the way, I signed up again to be an organ donor weeks before I found out about this, so they're not related. So, at 6:45, Mary's back with your traffic first on 720 WGN. Back to Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. So, Doc, when I re-upped my license, my driver's license,
yep.
I made sure that I was good to go with organ donation again.
Yep.
And for all the struggles Illinois government has, I got to say, this program works and works well. Am I right?
Yeah, actually, kudos to Jesse White. I mean, it is so simple. You know, go on the Secretary of State's website, look up for the link that says Life Goes On, and it's a very simple, you give your driver's license number, you give your address, I mean, or you give, your address and just some simple information, and you join. And that's what we really need. We need more people to do that because, unfortunately, the number of people waiting for organs is growing, and it's growing faster than the number of people who are signing up to be donors.
What are the numbers? Do we know anything, numbers-wise?
120,000 people are on the waiting list for organs right now. Oh. And you go, wow, that's a lot. But you have to remember that, you know, anybody who donates, you know, as a donor, you're giving more than one organ. So it's not like we need 120,000 people to have a untimely demise. But, I mean, that's the problem. 8,000 people a year die waiting for organs, and that shouldn't happen. Not in this society and not how we're living right now.
So, well, and you think with the population of eligible people, 120,000 people waiting is sort of ridiculous because we could certainly supply that number easily if everybody dispelled with the myths and the notions they might have or just quit procrastinating and did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the biggest thing. It's simple. Let's do it. And in the state of Illinois, you said, you know, they got this right. One thing we need to tweak with them, we are one of three states in the United States that don't allow 16 and 17-year-olds to sign up. So we need to change that. There's a House and Senate bill in front of the legislature right now. So hopefully that will change, and we'll be, you know, we'll just leave New Jersey and Mississippi as the only two states that don't allow it.
I knew someone a long time ago who said, I wanted to be an organ donor, but she didn't want to donate a particular organ. I think it was her eyes or something. And, and they said, don't worry about it. You can donate everything else, you know. Skin, of course, is your largest organ. But yeah, so you can specify for whatever reason, religion or personal preference, right, Doc? That you can say, you know what, I want everything except this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, people, you know, some people might just have a personal preference, and other people, like you said, it's a religious reason. But, you know, donating your corneas, the cool thing about corneas, since you brought up eyes, is cornea is a universal donor. It doesn't matter on your blood type. And 50,000 people a year who can't see are given corneas and now are able to see again.
When I had my eye issue,
for granted.
No, completely. When I had my eye issue last year and they said, you know, worst case, if it didn't heal, corneal transplant, they said that is so routine now, you know, and you do those daily, of course.
And Doc, weren't you telling me that they did a cornea transplant on a 100-year-old?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, people say, well, wait a second, you know, I'm too old to be a donor. No, we've taken donations from someone 92 years old. And it's like, well, wait a second. What about the older people? Yeah, they do corneal transplants on a 100-year-old.
Pretty cool.
So here's an individual who wants to see his great grandchild in a play. And by the gift of an individual, he's able to do that. So it's amazing.
Let's knock down some of the myths that are out there. What does it cost?
Nothing. That's probably the biggest thing. It says, I can't afford it, you know, my insurance. No. There is no cost to the donor at all. The entire cost is absorbed by the companies who do the harvesting. So there's no cost to the individual.
If you're registered as a donor, you're not going to get great care.
No, terrible. Opposite. You know, we are going to do everything we can to promote your health and keep you healthy. Donors only come into play when you're died.
The system's fixed and only rich people get organs or get to move up the list.
No, you know, that was always the thing. Why did Mickey Mantle get a liver before someone did? You know, that has totally changed now. Now there's a very, very tight system, and it's a universal national system that matches all the information. Tells me your blood type, tells me how old you are, tells me your tissue type, how far you are from what donor who needs you, and then they look at the people who are on the waiting list saying, okay, we can get this heart to this individual within, you know, 3 hours. Let's go there versus try to get this heart to the West Coast. So it's very complex how they do it right now, but there's no difference. Talk to anybody about celebrity status or how much money you make or social status or gender, anything like that.
Most needed organ is what?
Probably the kidneys. You know, it's kind of amazing. Actually, you know, Mary Sandberg brought up a point. She goes, why is the kidney needed so much? And the kidney is very, we're really reliant on our kidneys as a filtering system. But unfortunately, it's very fragile, and it has to be fragile just for what it does. But high blood pressure can damage kidneys. Unfortunately, some medications can. Dye from CT scans, from CAT scans can do it. So the great thing about kidneys is we're all born with two, and to be honest with you, we only need one. So it is one of the organs that can be given as a living donation. Prior to your death, you can give a you can give a kidney up.
Speaking of kidney donation, we have to send our thoughts out to Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson, who is waiting for a kidney transplant. Had a chance to talk to him on Saturday. He's lost 29 pounds, Doc, at the urging of his doctors, eating healthier, exercising more. He looks great because he's hopefully, fingers crossed, going to be getting a kidney transplant soon. You know, he's on the donor list, of course, but is preparing his body on doing all the right things. So he looks great.
Separate topic, maybe, but how are we doing on blood donations?
You know, okay. You know, we'll hit different points of the year where we don't get enough people, you know, donating blood. But, you know, there's always a good blood drive, and you can look for it. And people have to realize, you know what? You give blood up, it's back in your body in no time at all. We make blood continuously. A red blood cell lives for about 120 days in our body, so that we allow you to give blood every 60 days. So if you're not a blood donor, please give it. We use blood at every hospital every single day, and it's life-saving.
It's super easy. I mean, I was just there last week giving blood, and unfortunately, they said they only had 6 donors that whole day. So people, please get out there and give blood. It's so pathetically easy.
Yeah, and I salute Vanderbilt. She does it all the time.
You're out in 45 minutes.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
It's simple. It's easy. It's, you know, okay, you get a little stick, but that's about it. And the rest, and they give you cookies and juice when you're done. So, I mean, come on.
Or pretzels. They don't do popcorn anymore. I was kind of bummed about that.
Yeah, because Mary, well, at one point, was just going in for the snacks.
I was.
Right.
Take some more blood. I'm still hungry.
I need a Twinkie.
And the orange juice. That's always good.
Any last thoughts, Doc, on what we need to know here other than how to sign up?
No, I think, you know, the big thing, and this goes beyond the state of Illinois. Obviously, there's people listening in Indiana and Wisconsin saying, well, wait a second. I'm not at the Illinois Department of Motor Vehicles. How do I get it? OregonDonor.gov, please, everyone, go online. This is Organ Donation Month. Anybody you see today in conversation, just ask them, you know, hey, have you done this? And, you know, if you know, think of a story about the cornea transplant. Think of, you know, the police superintendent who needs that kidney. You know, those are the people that you make a difference. Kidney donation, you know, this individual now, you know, Andrea is stuck. He's kind of has to hang around his dialysis unit.
Right.
And he can't really travel. And he can't do some of the things that we should be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
So please think of others, and, you know, life goes on is the motto here for the state of Illinois, and the gift of hope, the team in Chicago, the gift of hope team, is phenomenal. They're very compassionate. They're very, very aware of how to deal with patients and families going through this. So I can't say enough for gift of hope and,
absolutely.
And what we do here.
And you'll be okay. My friend donated her kidney to her brother about 20 years ago, and they're both great. They're flourishing. They're fine. They're wonderful.
It's huge.
But and they celebrate every year, too. They go
they
out.
Should.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I bet you she buys them dinner once a year,
yep.
Gives them a great Christmas gift.
Absolutely.
I would say, too, that for those of you who've wanted to do this and continue to put it off, let's make today the day you stop putting it off. I promise you, it'll take you less than 5 minutes to sign up.
Yep.
And it's easy, and you're going to feel good about it. And talk to your family about it, too. Just
absolutely.
Brag about it and spread the word.
Yeah. Like Andrea said, you know, hey, if you have something to say, hey, you know what, I really want to... I don't want to get my heart. Okay, that's fine. But let people know that you are a donor because it makes them think about it if they're not.
Yeah.
And
it's great inspiration for your kids, too.
Really is.
Thank you, buddy.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon.
Dr. Kevin Most, again, Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. The great Pat Williams in studio. Love to see Pat. We need some positivity in America right now. Right now. All the pressure's on Pat and his new book, The Success Intersection. We'll talk to him about it coming up. And in about 20 minutes or so, I'll tell you whether or not Comptroller Mendoza and I are going to be having coffee anytime soon. But we'll get to the news next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Yeah. 713, happy Monday, back in the Allstate Showcase Studio for show number 874. For the great Pat Williams, I've known Pat for a very long time. The busiest man on the planet. He sleeps for 7 minutes a day, upside down in a pair of retro gravity boots from the 80s. You look great. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Thank you. I'm so glad to be back in Chicago.
It's your town, baby. This is your town.
It's always a thrill, really. And to look out the window and see a giant Abraham Lincoln waving his cap, pointing his hat.
Right. It's good to be here.
I stood there last night just inspired.
You know, the measure of a man or a woman should be, you know, in some form, the amount of great friends you have in your life. And it's funny, I just look at the slugs on his latest book, The Success Intersection. I don't know anybody that knows you, including me, that doesn't say nice things about you.
Well,
do you have any enemies in life?
Try not.
Because if you do, let's name them right now. Let's go through right here. No, I mean, but you've lived your a man who is as busy as you and lived your life at a very high level in sports, in particular. What's the secret to everybody loving you?
Well, I think the key that I've learned is to be interested in other people, and I am.
Sure, you are.
And be the question asker. Because I don't want to be talking about myself. So if I'm around people, particularly those people that I'm fascinated with, I'm going to be barraging them with questions about their life. And people love to talk about their life. And most people never get asked.
It's one of the great secrets: to be a great listener and ask someone about themselves.
Yeah, that appeals. Yeah, the bottom line, yes, and you're going to come up with good material. The key is asking the right questions.
But is that how you get to 104? About 104 books, by the way.
Yeah,
104.
How about that?
Is that how you get to 104 books, being a great listener and being inspired about things people tell you?
And asking a question. For example, if I run into, if I ran into Joe Madden today.
Sure.
Now, he might not be real happy today, but if I did and engaged him, here's what I would say. Joe, who was the key person in you becoming a manager?
Right. Question he doesn't get every day and something who was the key opens person? The door to other things.
I would have some paper with me and I'd have a pen.
Right.
And he would tell me the story of who was this key person that got him into being a manager. And I would keep that material. I would get it typed up and I would have it on file.
Right.
And somewhere in a book on leadership or somewhere that story become valuable.
Pretty cool.
And Joe would have a good time telling me who was that key person because I'm not sure he's been asked. But to me, here's another one. Joe, what is your greatest strength as a leader?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he's a great leader, and I'm fascinated with Joe Madden.
And I think he'd probably tell you keeping it fun.
Yes, keeping it light, but yet keeping a firm hand on the troops.
Right.
He would say, show interest in them personally, not just what they can do for me on the field, but I'm interested in you as a human being.
But isn't that something, too, that comes from sports? Because you now have how many kids?
We have 19 children.
19 children. By the way, that's not for a reality show.
No.
We have 19 children.
14 are adopted, you think I'm a madman. You know, but they're
right. And this all started with your wife saying, we should maybe adopt a child.
Yeah. Yes. No kidding. She wanted children that didn't look like us.
Right.
And we ended up adopting two South Korean sisters in 1983.
Irresistible.
Oh, and I got, two and three. Oh, boy. And I got hooked and couldn't say no. People ask all the time, well, why did you do it? And the answer is very simple. It was hard to say no when we saw pictures of these children in Brazil or Romania.
And Patton now lives in a mall. He's just rented an entire mall because he needs the room.
We just sold our 13-bedroom house after all these years.
Isn't this your greatest accomplishment, though, being a dad and a grandfather?
Isn't it that true for anybody? You know,
if you're smart enough to realize it.
If your children are doing well and you're engaged with your grandchildren, I remember what George H.W. Bush, who had a big family.
Sure.
He said, the greatest thing I've done, he said, my children still come home.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
And they were all adults. He said, my children still come home. He said, that's my greatest accomplishment. I think there's some real wisdom to that.
19 kids, Pat. You love them all equally. How do you not play favorites? How do you not one day say, oh,
well, it's interesting. You know, the youngest is 31. The oldest is 45. Uh-huh. We hear from them all, but the ones that obviously you're going to be most engaged with are those that
stay in touch.
Yeah. So for example, my son Bobby is a pro scout for the Angels, the LA Angels. They opened, and he covers the East Coast and over. So he lives in Sarasota. The Rays and the Yankees opened yesterday afternoon in St. Pete. Bobby was there as part of his scouting work, and he called me, oh, I don't know, about 4 o'clock. I had just come out of the big Barnes & Noble up on Rush Street, my favorite spot in Chicago.
Sure.
And the phone rang, and it was Bobby, and he wanted to tell me all about the first game of the season yesterday in St. Pete and who he was sitting with and, what the game. And he was scouting, and he talked to me for 30 minutes explaining everything that happened
which
yesterday.
Which today is a lifetime. 30 minutes on the phone.
And so, and my daughter Karen is a singer. She's out on the road in her singing career. So Karen will call. So I think probably the ones that are most aggressive in reaching out to
they get the most attention.
Yeah, they probably get that.
Book's called The Success Intersection. We'll get Dave in here in just a second as well. What happens when your talent meets your passion? And I'll run through a couple things in the book while we have time here, too, when we come back. But let me jump to the newsroom. Steve, what's going on in Russia?
Steve, we have a developing story coming out of St. Petersburg, Russia, where there has been a serious explosion on the underground subway there. We're seeing video and images come from the scene with doors blown off of the subway train, people lying around hurt or worse. At least 10 people we know of have been seriously injured. Again, this is happening in St. Petersburg, Russia. A serious explosion on the underground subway there. We're monitoring and we'll bring you the latest details as we get them.
Steve, too early to say if it's terror-related?
Hard to say. Yeah. Lots of chaos right now.
7:40 now, and we're going to talk taxes here in a little bit. Get your text messages in, 312-981-7200, a tax question about this or that. We'll get to as many of those as we can. All right, I don't want to belabor the point here, but there's a couple things I need to say. Most of you were probably unaware that State Comptroller Susana Mendoza demanded an apology from me for something I said in regards to her to Governor Rauner last week on the show. The best reporting on this from several sources from Rob Feeder. So if you check out the Rob Feeder blog at robertfeeder.com, you can see what he wrote. Because it's fair. Tells both sides of the story. And here's the bottom line. I believe if somebody's offended, even if you didn't intend to offend, it's right to apologize. And that's what I did. And the apology was accepted. But on Friday, during an event on rape culture language, Comptroller Mendoza brought up her offense with me and Governor Rauner. And I want you to hear this again at an event involving rape culture language. Well, now I'm offended. It's important to note the governor had nothing to do with the comment I made and didn't say anything to support it. It's also important to say that nobody from the comptroller's office called or tried to reach out to me before throwing my name in, pardon me again, at an event on rape culture language. If the event was called blowing something out of proportion for potential political gain, it would have made sense, but not in this case. Now, I'm quite sure the comptroller knows how this works. If you're upset, we talk about it. I've certainly heard from the mayor before. I've heard from the governor before about things they were upset about. Many other people. And when you call me, I'll talk to you and we'll talk it out. We may not agree, but we'll talk it out. Nobody from the comptroller's office called me. I'm not that hard to find. And I didn't find out she was going to do this until it was actually made the event happen Friday afternoon and became a news story. And the reason it offends me, aside from the obvious, is because I've defended women. I've defended women's safety. I've denounced domestic violence. I've seen this in my life. I've experienced violence in my life. Nothing's more offensive to me than this cause. And I've given time, money, and public support to the fight for the last 30 years, and I'll continue to do it. So to use me and my comment as an example at a rape culture language event is patently ridiculous. And in my opinion, it's a reach for publicity. Well, Comptroller Mendoza, you got the publicity, but nothing for the cause. So I think the least we can do is post some resources to my Twitter page and to Facebook and WGNradio.com And there are several great collective sites where you can go if you have questions or concerns, or if you love somebody that's in a destructive relationship, and maybe you could send them there. So check Twitter at Cochran Show, Facebook.com, Steve Cochran Show, and also WGNRadio.com. Look, I stand by my character. I stand by my career of defending women. I said a dumb thing, and I apologize for it, and I should. But I'll continue to invite Mendoza on the show. Her people have turned us down before. They were invited again for today, and Sandberg was told maybe next week. So I'm going to do something here I never do. I'm going to give, because I know that Mendoza and or her people are listening this morning. I'm going to give you the questions that I plan on asking if you appear on the show. And I think these questions are representative of what people would like to know. So when Mendoza is on the program, either live or on the phone, here's a few questions I'll ask. You've ripped the governor repeatedly in speeches and interviews. How do we benefit by you making speeches trashing the government and trashing the governor? What's in it for us? While your powers as controller are limited, what are you doing to bring an end to the budget crisis? Because that's certainly in the purview of your office. Number three, your predecessor moved state rep pay down the bill-paying priority list. You actually made it last on the list. But when a judge said you had to release back pay, why not request a stay and appeal that ruling? Why is paying state reps apparently more important than paying the 62 domestic violence agencies that are going broke because the state doesn't pay them? What are you doing to fight for those women in those organizations? Do you have a plan to fix the state pension crisis? And what is that plan? And does it involve a big tax increase? Does it involve bankruptcy? And you say the governor is a massive failure. Well, what's your idea? What specifically should he do to fix the state? And how could you help him? And will you help him if you have the opportunity to do that? Again, I want to thank Rob Feeder for being fair on this. He's a journalist. He called me to hear my side. That's good journalism. Others who wrote about this, frankly, didn't. And I'm not that hard to find. In the end, I believe there's just way too much talk from politicians, and that's where this all started. And there's way too much grandstanding. We need less talk and more action, unless you're Speaker Madigan. And we need him to talk. We need him to talk a lot. And he ought to talk here. Finally, Comptroller Mendoza, I want to make sure you and your office understand that I stand by my apology. And I also stand by this promise. You're no different to me than any other politician. When I believe you're serving your own interests and not the people's interests, you'll hear about it here, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, female, or male. And by the way, when I believe you are helping the people of Illinois, I'll applaud you and I'll tell people that too. Finally, if you have a problem with me, please call me before you call a press conference. I'm here every morning from 6 to 10 a.m. 7:45. Let's go with the actual central time zone. 7:45. Sorry about my voice. Still a little thin from being out for a while.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
But you were supposed to get me a refund.
You can't get a refund. Your warranty expired 2 years ago.
So we're going to make the post office pay for my new stereo now?
It's a write-off for them.
How is it a write-off?
They just write it off.
Write it off what?
Jerry, all these big companies, they write off everything.
You don't even know what a write-off is.
Do you?
No, I don't.
But they do. And they're the ones writing it off.
Ah, Kramer, we're your tax man. Louis Sands, nice enough to take a break from pulling his hair out during tax season and joining us here in studio. How have you been?
I've been great. Thanks for having me back.
Sure. What's the name of the company?
Sikich LLP, headquartered out of Naperville, Illinois.
And is it personal and business taxes?
Without a doubt. Accounting services, investment technology, advisory, everything that a public accounting firm does, and more.
With the IRS being understaffed, does that make it harder or easier or no effect on you guys?
Mostly no effect. Okay. And if there's any harder, how about all of the above? Yeah. Because they're understaffed, which means that there are newer and newer employees that perhaps aren't as well trained. So to the extent that you are involved in an audit, a lot of times there's some education of the person sitting across the table from you. That's the bad side. The good side is that when there's fewer people, there fewer than 1% of all people are audited. And then of that number, less than 1% make under $500,000. So the number of audits
ding, ding, ding.
that, are, that are full blown are very small because of the redaction in work.
Yeah, and there's supposedly less of them than ever because they're not staffed up now. Having said that, if you're thinking about cheating, this is not a green light. And this, you went through this. You went through the audit.
I did. I went through an audit, and I think she was quite surprised too, because when I came in, I save everything, receipts and whatnot, because I was itemizing then, and I walked in with a box. So I guess my question to you is, are you still supposed to do that? Should you save your receipts? How long for? What do you save? Do you save everything?
Is it 7 years? Is that the magic number?
I would say that 7 years is probably more than enough, to be honest with you.
Five for sure.
Five. The statute of limitations is 3 years.
Oh,
so
wow.
So I guess in April 15th here, the 2013 return.
Time for a new paper shredder.
Can be shredded. But to answer your question, if you walk in, if they're understaffed, any IRS agent has more than your case on her workload. Yeah. And for everybody like you that comes in with, you know, all this support, right, you're making her job very easy in terms of supporting. There's 10 other people that don't have a clue where it is. They got rid of it. They can't support it. And that's even if they were telling, you know, if you're telling the truth,
right,
best case scenario.
Right. I still had to pay too, by the
way. Well, I mean, that's always, you know.
I think we split the difference
what
happened.
And again.
Do you ever have people get audited where they go, okay, our fault, we're the IRS, we're sorry, here's $100 for your trouble. Usually if you get audited, you're probably going to pay a little extra for something.
Well,
they're going to find something, aren't they?
A lot of times they are, but more than anything, it's to answer your question, an audit will oftentimes result in a no change letter, which basically means we didn't find anything.
Okay.
Because an audit, even if it's a full blown audit, will be limited to one thing. Maybe they're looking at your medical expenses. Maybe they're looking at your racehorse or whatever it is.
Sure.
And if they come in and someone like yourself that has all their support and all their examples, they don't have, even in that case, though. You know, I always say an audit, it's just proving what you did. So if you're telling the truth, it's more than anything, it's just an inconvenience. It's still an inconvenience. And then, of course, they have to pay someone like us to actually defend it. So worst case scenario, even if you get a no change, it does cost you money. But it's a tax deduction on the back end.
All right. The 18th this year is the extended couple of days for a couple of reasons. Mm-hmm. Just know it's the 18th. Mm-hmm. If you're going to file an extension, let's say like me.
Okay.
What do you have to do by the 18th?
By the 18th, and it's the 18th, everyone thinks 4/15, right? That's a Saturday. So then the Monday is the 17th. It's a Washington, D.C. holiday. It's Emancipation Day.
Which kicks it to Tuesday.
As long as you have your extension filed by midnight on Tuesday, you have until October 15th, unless that falls on a Saturday. I don't know off the top of my
head. But you do have to pay what you owe?
It's an extension of time to file, not an extension of time to pay.
The obvious question is, if you itemize, you don't know what you owe. So you do your best to estimate it?
Your best estimate. And then typically, if you're making estimates and you make estimates throughout the course of the year, the only thing, your 2016 liability is not the only thing due on April 18th. Your first quarter estimate for 2017 is also due. So what we would typically do with our clients is we would take that, try and estimate that amount, put it with the 2016 liability, and that way you've got that big cushion in there. And then when you file the return, you just make sure you check the box saying apply any overpayment to my 2017 refund, and that way you avoid the penalties and interest, which is the hammer.
It's a big deal.
Oh, it's huge.
All right, from the 847, can you deduct investment management fees if the fees are taken from an IRA account?
No.
You cannot.
No.
So the management fees are just part of what you're on the hook for.
That's right. Because it's about making you whole. You don't have to pick up the income from your IRA or your 401k or anything like that. So any fees that are associated with it.
How about medical expenses and prescriptions? Can you combine those?
Oh.
And what's the magic number for the year? Because I know you always kind of come close to that number, whether you have a root canal or whatever it might be.
Right.
But what is that number?
It's getting harder. That's an excellent question. And the answer is yes, medical. And it's beyond that. A lot of times our clients forget about dental, about medical. Right. All of that counts, you know, therapies, these sorts of things, prescriptions. That all counts towards a deductible medical expense. That's the good news. The bad news is it's got to exceed a certain threshold. And that threshold is 10%. Of your adjusted gross income, which is basically the starting point for your Illinois return. It's the top of your second page of your return. It's pretty much if you have health insurance, it's difficult to get a deductible insurance unless you had just one of those one-off years where you just had an awful lot happen.
Right.
Home office deductions are usually a red flag, more so now than ever?
Without a doubt, because as a general rule, there's really two ways. The IRS obviously won't say what they're going to pick to flag for an audit. A lot of times, you know, they're understaffed, so there's certain things that the computer will pick up if you transpose numbers on a Social Security number, if you have a W-2 that, you know, so there's those sorts of human errors. In addition, anything that's often abused, it's about highest and best use. You know, the richer someone is, the more likely they are to be audited because that's where there's more bang for the buck. Earned income credits, high charitable deductions, and then a home office are oftentimes very much abused. So, again, just like anything else, if you're entitled to it, you should do it. It shouldn't be to scare you off. But in terms of support, you know, don't hogs get slaughtered, pigs live long lives. If you've got it, don't try and write off your entire electric bill. You know, if you're using 10% of your home, you want to be able to
follow the rules.
Know the rules and then follow the rules. That's sure. that's the important thing.
Well, I would think too, if you're going to try a home office deduction, that's a little more advanced than changing your oil on your car, and you should hire a professional.
I would say so. Although I know how to do a home office deduction, I can't change my own oil. But for someone else, and it's, as a general rule, I mean, it's painting with a very broad brush. But if to the extent that anyone chooses to listen to me personally, I try and in most cases I try and dissuade my clients from filing the home office deduction.
It goes to a larger question too, the AMT, the alternative minimum tax, three of my least favorite letters. Have we gotten to a point where it doesn't make sense to go through the old, falderall of doing all the deductions and all the lead work because the AMT is going to kick in anyway?
Well, it's frustrating because the AMT basically gets you up to the easy way to think about it is that it'll get you, if you're paying less than 28%, you have a lot of income from long-term capital gains or qualified dividends, the lower tax rates, it'll start disallowing certain deductions, but not all of them. So, you know, some of the bigger
ticket items. So it's worth it to go through the effort.
It's worth it to go through the effort because certain things are not eliminated. It's not just the AMT. Once you reach certain income levels, even without AMT, they start to phase out some of your itemized deductions, your personal exemptions that everyone gets. If you don't have to be very high up on the income scale to get very little benefit out of any of that.
Let's see. From the 219, stocks were sold. No record of the brokerage for the taxes. Or for the basis, I'm sorry. Mm. Stocks purchased in the early 80s. How do you handle an old stock sale like that?
I mean,
do you go estimates?
As best you can. I mean, the conservative estimate is zero because you know that it's definitely, if you sold it for $10 a share, you good luck trying to support an $11 a share. A loss is going to be difficult. We always say, depending on how much we're talking about, and if it's a publicly traded stock, you can get a real good handle on what it was.
That's what Google's for.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's all you can do. And what's the hammer on something like that? You can only do your best guesstimate. And if the IRS comes back and says, well, you claimed a dollar and it should have been zero, all right, well, but if you're making your best estimate at the truth, that's at the end of the day, that'll allow you to sleep well.
224, my father passed away in January. Do I have to file an income tax form this year for last year's taxes? He died in January.
Of 17?
Yes. Okay. So would someone in the family have to file taxes for him against his estate for 16?
Yes. Yes. And depending on when he died in 17, a final 1040 might be required for 2017 as well. It might not have anything going on in it. But yeah, because, I mean, realistically, when the ball dropped on 12/31/16, he was still alive. And that's the finish line for the 2016 return.
Sorry about your loss and sorry about the IRS.
Yeah.
They're just doing their job. They're just doing their job.
That's right.
1099s, a small number of them were not filed. What do you do about making up for 1099s that missed a deadline?
If you're on the receiving end of it, you can estimate or depending on how much it is, you know, if it's.
I think this is from somebody that should have issued a 1099 and didn't do it.
Oh, well, then you've got a, you know, better late than never, because you're issuing a 1099 either to an entity or to an individual that it needs it on, you know, downstream from you. And if they, depending on if you communicated that to them or not, file it now and you can check a corrected box. It's a big deal. You really shouldn't file them late. It happens. So you'd file it and you'd try to get it to the people.
But you're messing up their taxes. That's the message.
Probably.
Yeah. And when can you deduct attorney fees, if ever?
You can deduct attorney's fees when they are related to tax defense or tax planning. So a good example is, you know, if you were drawing up or if you were suing because you slipped and fell in the grocery store, that's not a tax deduction. But a perfect example, one that's almost tongue-in-cheek, but it's true, you know, everyone knows Al Capone, what got him in ultimately was failure to pay income tax on right. even illegal activities. His attorney's fees in defending himself against that tax conviction, you know, would have been a deduction.
And another fine listener, we're way late here, but another fine listener, I just started selling Unique. It's a makeup.
Oh.
Can I deduct the makeup bought? That's a general question. I think it would apply to a lot of people who are doing home-based businesses.
Sure.
You can. Your supplies are business expenses, right?
Without a doubt. I mean, as long as, you know, you would want to have good record keeping. But again, you would if you're putting it on your Schedule C and you didn't incorporate or you don't have an LLC, your income would need to be claimed and your proper business expenses would be deductible for sure.
We need to start this in January and just have him live here.
Oh my God! Right. put a little corner office in the studio here.
Tell us again where Sikich is.
Sikich is in Naperville, Illinois. We have, well, actually 22 offices nationwide, but our headquarters is right in Naperville, Illinois.
All right. And I know you're plenty busy, but you want to throw a phone number out in case anybody's interested in help?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. 630-364-7968, and it's Sikich LLP.
Really appreciate the help. And I know these are a lot of basic questions that are routine, but these are things that we all need to know and we don't know.
Well, my pleasure, and I prefer the routine questions to the real difficult ones.
There you go. Thanks, bud. Dean's coming up. News next, 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
it's 8:16. We're going to run down to what Dean's doing here. He is actually at a Guaranteed Rate Field, previously known as The Cell, previously known as Comiskey Park or Kaminsky Park, depending on what part of town you're from. And Dean joins us. Now, by the way, Dean, I want to thank the listeners for all the texts for the last half hour. Leave it at that.
So do I. I would like to thank them also for their undying support for you.
You playing at the White Sox, with the White Sox today?
Playing for the White Sox?
Yeah, you're playing for the White Sox today? Is that what you're doing out there?
Yes. Yes, I'll be the starting pitcher here today, if only I knew how to do that.
Aren't you a lefty?
I am a lefty. Southpaw, Steve. I'm a southpaw.
What would you say your best pitch is?
The one where I go like this?
No, I don't think so. I think your best pitch is for Carson late nights, based on how many times you brought that up.
Well, that's true. Did I mention that's on Antenna TV weeknights?
You know, you did bring it up.
I have not plugged that in months. That's been going on. You know what? It's cool being in the ballpark right now because I'm like one of five people in the entire guaranteed
rate field.
Park.
Guaranteed rate field. And everybody else out there is probably media, right?
They are. It's nothing but media people who have no idea what they're talking about. So I fit right in out here today. I'm in the press box.
And
I feel this is very official. I feel like extra Ubery mail, sitting here. This is where they call the action. It's cool.
We could have gotten you a ticket for the game. I mean, you didn't have to go through this whole thing where you're doing a TV report.
I think it's much cooler this way to be here when nobody's here, because that way really nobody knows that I have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about once we get into talking about, what is it, baseball? Is that what they play? Yeah, the baseball.
Yeah, the baseball.
They're playing the baseball out there.
Yep, it's time for the baseball. All right, so when
first
we come back.
I ever went to as a kid at the old Comiskey Park, because we lived on the south side then. So this is like a good south side homecoming for me.
I got to tell you, I like that park. That park takes so much grief. I like that park. I like that field. I like the parking situation. I like it out there.
I'm just going to offer.
Having said that, I should go to more games.
They should put up a few more signs for advertising possibilities. There are hardly any anywhere in the park.
Got a couple up?
I think that's sarcasm.
Yeah. All right. So what's on the big list when we come back?
We're going to talk about the American Academy of Country Music Awards that were last night. We're going to talk about a brand new tattoo that Michael Jackson's kids is sporting, honoring his dad. And what else do we have? The big box office numbers.
Excellent. When we come back, more with Dean.
Try to hold the excitement down a little bit.
Speaking of the Academy of Country Music Awards, if you get a chance, take a quick look online today and just Google David Copperfield's hair. Well, I don't know how much he's spending in dye a month, but it's got to be a lot. Let's go now to Mary Vandeveld, who has your traffic trouble spots. Why am I looking at a microphone that she's not at? Hello. Mary's on the seventh floor.
Uh-oh.
Okay, is Mary down? Do we have trouble on seven?
Uh-oh. Mary down.
Blackhawk down.
We may need to do a well-being check.
I'm going right now.
All right, we'll come back and... Here she comes. All right.
Sorry about that.
I was about to send Steve in to do a well-being check, but you're okay.
I'm okay.
He's coming in anyway.
Okay.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richer, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
Back to Guaranteed Rate Field, where Dean Richards is preparing to start for the White Sox today. They're in a rebuilding year, and they've decided to go with Dean because of his left-handed hook. Huh?
That's exactly right. Yeah? Exactly right, because of my left-handed hook, what he said.
Got a lot of movement on that curveball of yours. Very impressive.
I've got a lot of giddy-up on my left-handed hook.
There's a lot of things, though, that can be misunderstood because of the terminology of baseball. So when they went to Dean and they said, can you make it drop 6 inches? Dean was actually talking about something else, and not his curveball.
Well, you know, as you get a little older, gravity catches up with
yes.
you.
Yes. All right, so here's the question. Miranda Lambert has won Female Vocalist of the Year in country music every year since what, 1940?
1936 was the year that she first won. She won Female Vocalist of the Year last night and also won for Album of the Year.
How about that?
She is now a record holder. She has won eight of these ACM Awards, Academy of Country Music. That's a huge big deal. Interestingly, for Male Vocalist of the Year, La La Land was chosen as a male vocalist.
That
of the
had
year,
to be a surprise. Is there any chance that was the wrong envelope?
I you would think that they would be super careful with that. Yeah. Now that the big debacle happened with the Academy Awards, short of that, we have a Jason Aldean who won as Entertainer of the Year. That's the big award of the night. It's interesting performances last night included Florida Georgia Line.
They're very good.
Line. The script that I have is mm-hmm. on the phone that I'm talking to you on right now, so I cannot.
Well, we don't have to talk about show business. What do you want to talk about?
No, I want to try to see if I can remember this because. Okay. The Florida Georgia Line did a big duet with the Backstreet Boys on the show last night. That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And Keith Urban did a beautiful duet with Carrie Underwood on the show last night. So it was Dierks Bentley and Luke Bryant were the hosts, and they did a tribute to Chuck Berry with the Eagles' Joe Walsh. So some interesting mashup performances.
How good is
on the
Joe
big
Walsh?
ACM Awards.
Joe Walsh, man, for a guy that did the damage he did between the years to still be able to play guitar like that, it's unbelievable.
He still makes me laugh when he talks, though, because doesn't he sound like he should be in a Cheech and Chong movie?
Oh, he absolutely does. Yeah, back when we were all on the loop for a while, some of my favorite Kevin Matthews shows were when Joe Walsh was on, and you couldn't tell which one of them was more not there. It's like, okay, who didn't show up today, Kevin or Joe? Neither one of them. But Kevin and Joe are really good friends for a lot of years, and I'm sure they still are.
They were hilarious together. I always enjoyed when they were on together. So, yeah, so that was the ACM Awards. I forgot to mention in the tease that we actually have a pretty big local entertainment story, and that is the death of the legendary Lonnie Brooks, one of the great Chicago bluesmen of all time, although he... was born in Texas. He came to Chicago in the late 50s at the invitation of the great Sam Cooke, who heard him play and wanted him to perform with him in Chicago, and he's been a Chicago staple in the blues ever since, with his signature searing guitar licks and his raspy voice. His cover of Sweet Home Chicago has become signature and legendary. He's appeared on David Letterman's show numerous times. He's appeared in many, many motion pictures. Mayor Emanuel paying tribute to Lonnie Brooks, saying that he's not just a legend here in Chicago, but all over the world, an ambassador of the city of Chicago, well known from the clubs on the west side of Chicago to the European concert halls. Everybody knew and respected and loved Lonnie Brooks. He was 83 years old. They did not announce a cause of death. They have not announced any funeral arrangements yet. But our condolences to his two sons, who also were following him into music, and to his whole family. Amazing, amazing performer.
Dean, one of my best friends, Pat Duty, an amazing drummer. We went to high school together. Lonnie gave him one of his first gigs as a young drummer.
Said, that's cool.
I believe in you. Let's go forward. And he went on to become a very successful musician
really
as well. So, yeah.
I always got that sense that there was a generosity. Mm-hmm. In the blues community, there's a generosity of helping those who are younger, those who are...
But that's because you don't want to be the only one that's sad. You want to share the sadness.
Steve was a blues musician. I don't know if you remember that. Back
I was I was Acid Reflux. That was my blues name, Acid Reflux.
You were one of the best. You were definitely one of the best.
How long will you be at Sox Park, as you called it?
I'm going to be here at Guaranteed Rate Field, because I'm looking at the big sign that says that, until 10 o'clock this okay. morning. Steve, they have new suites and new amenities and new things that we're bringing you. We can barely even contain all the excitement in one program.
Yeah, I can tell. And Kevin Powell said the food there is great. Dean is on a pitch count today, Dave Ennett, of one.
Yes, that's his probably not a bad
we're
idea.
Going to pull him after one pitch.
Yep.
All right, buddy, we'll talk to you later. That's Dean Richards, and the big story is next on 720 WGN.
Since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That depth on the flying kid sure plays a mean pinball.
9:42 now, and Coach Q, Pinball Wizard, seems appropriate as we head down the final week of another great season. And, Coach, you know, I consider you a friend, and this is not blowing smoke up your skirt, though you'd look fine in a skirt, I'm sure. You're being one of the NHL's best and having the ability to watch how you handle things, and the great job you've done with this this team as we head into the playoffs again, which we've come to expect. You've kind of ruined average for us. I just wanted to say a personal thank you for the great job you and the guys do.
Well, thank you, and I think when you're talking about the Pinball Wizard, you might have been talking about that shot when the bread man hits him in the head when it was going into the empty net, and it was like, oh my God, we got to do it again. Stay with it. Yeah.
What did you guys do for Panarin after the game? Did he get a puck? What happened? I mean, do you some special presentation, most likely to deflect the puck while he's in the net?
I don't know. That was a strange one, because it was like, everybody thought the first one might have been in, but we don't think it was in. But it was, but then he stayed with it. Most guys might not have, stayed with it. So it was it was good that he finished it off.
Yeah, I said Panarin
a chance to get back in the game, and I was like, okay.
I said Panarin. I meant Panic. Panic got bonked.
Yeah.
Have you seen one like that?
But he got an assist off the deal.
He did.
If the puck goes straight in, I'm not sure he gets an assist. Yeah.
You know, I tell you, you can't teach deflecting and changing direction of the puck with your head. It's just a gift.
Yeah, especially when you can't even do anything about it.
So,
not quite like Shazzy's, but a little bit different variety.
Have you ever seen one like that in all the hockey you've seen?
Not like that. No, I've seen some guys stop them from your own team like that, but not like that when they have an empty net. And it comes right back to them too. So that was it was fun watching that one.
And isn't it cool?
Didn't like the outcome.
Yeah, I understand that. Isn't it cool, though, that after all the hockey you've seen, played, and been a part of, you can still see stuff that's new?
It's every game. I mean, you know, whether it's the NHL, watching all these goals, and you're watching all these different plays, there's something that you don't see. And it's a, you know, it's part of the game. The way the puck bounces, the way things happen, you know, you still see something almost nightly, something you've never seen before if you're watching all the games. So it's a, it makes a game sport. The sport's so exciting that you know, saw a lot of unpredictability in the game, and it's so fast. The you know, the bounces and bodies and things can wow you.
That's the beauty of it. Coaches, you look towards the final three games of the regular season. You still have a mathematical shot at that number one overall record. You need some help, obviously, with Washington holding the lead there. But how do you walk the line between rest and rust over the last three games?
Well, we'll try to play, you know, we'll see how going into each game. Once you're in the game, though, we want to make sure that we play the right way. You want to play hard. You want to play to win. And we'll see if we get a chance to back off some guys' ice time and maybe rest a guy or two and go from there. But we, you know, we're looking at it once you're in the game. Now let's play the right way. Let's have good habits. Let's do the right things and reinforce our game without the puck and offensively. You know, trust your instincts and kind of the way we played the last four or five games there. Just let's be ready to play, and you know, the last four games for sure we played fine, and that's what we're looking for.
Yeah, that's really the more important thing this time of year is regardless of the outcome. I mean, you've clinched the top seed in the West. But playing the way you want to be playing when the playoffs start next week.
Yeah, we don't want to have to, you know, think it's an on-off switch and all of a sudden we gotta go here. Let's mm-hmm. go. But there's always a playoffs when everybody starts, whether you're on a run going into it or you're playing ordinary hockey. Everybody has an extra gear when the playoffs begin, and they know the intensity. The intensity of the first round is like no other hockey game you're going to see. So that's you got to be ready for it. And I think that. You know, let's be ready to compete to that all-out level, all-out pace, and all-out speed, and you know, so everybody can respond. So we'll have hopefully we got a clear idea exactly the lines, and so that's what we're looking for, and hopefully we can go into it being healthy as possible.
Coach Cuso is sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. You know, it's not just a wing joint; it's a way of life. Things changed this week in any way you handle this final week of the season? I mean, I don't see you sitting around, you know, playing words with friends in the office, killing time till the playoffs, but do you handle the last week of the season differently? Just personally, yeah, well, with your routine?
We got a road trip here. We're going to Colorado. We're going to Anaheim. We're going to L.A. You know, it's a long trip out there. We've had three long trips in the last little while here. 3 weeks in a row, we've had three trips, three games each, and I think we'll handle it the same way we did there. Maybe get a day off in L.A. for everybody, and getting into the last game and coming home and getting ready for beginning of the playoffs. But it's fun knowing that you don't have to try to win these last three games, or we're life and death trying to get in the playoffs. Knowing that just that little bit of I guess I don't want to say stress or the pressure, and knowing that the pressure's on for every single game. It's nice having games that you know, we can go into it kind of loose, and at the same time, let's do the right things.
Goalies change this week?
We'll get Darryl's going to get at least one start here, and we'll see.
Who you got tonight in the NCAA final?
I don't know. I don't know who's a favorite, but I mean,
North Carolina
guy there from. No, there's a big guy on.
On Gonzaga.
Karnowski. Yeah, Karnowski.
Yeah. That guy's monster.
You'd love to have him right in the center of the ice.
Nothing wrong with him standing in front of the net.
Yep. Yeah, Dustin Byfuglien called and said, "Now that's a butt on that guy. That guy could deflect some pucks." But yeah. North Carolina Gonzaga, Dave, North Carolina 3-point pick, is that right?
I think it's a little less than that. So not that I pay attention to that stuff, but North Carolina, the slightest of favorites tonight.
So Anybody, okay. Anybody on the Hawks play basketball? Anybody good to play basketball on the Hawks? Anybody really? You guys?
I don't know if we got any basketball players. Hmm. I don't know. I know that a lot of guys like to kick the soccer ball around, and some golfers and some other sports. But I mean, I'm not sure we got many basketball players.
I know
basketball in the middle of a hockey season.
A little tough.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
Yeah, a little ankles. Tough. I know it's a different sport, but if Joe Maddon were to ask you for some advice on trying to repeat, because you've been in that situation of trying to repeat a championship, what would you tell him?
Don't do what we did.
All right, thanks.
Well, he did just say, if you want to repeat, right. Don't do what we did, because we didn't repeat.
Yeah. Okay, I got you. Hey, the one thing is it's a long year in baseball, and they got a fun team, and it's hockey's a kind of a different sport, but the fact that they found a way to win and over that length of time there, it's got to be a fun process going into the season, knowing that you got a good team, and at the end, hopefully they can win another championship. But it's I think it's a different sport, different way of life, and I think he's got a very good feel of his group and his team, and. I'm sure it's going to be fun trying to do it.
You've met him, right? He's been out to a couple Hawks games.
I haven't met Joe.
Oh, you haven't? We got to get that done. We got to get that done because you guys have great talks, even better than these.
There you go.
No, come on.
Coach, always appreciate your time. Have a good trip west, and we're getting ready for the playoffs. Thanks again for all the entertainment and excitement, and please check on Panic's Head when you can.
All right. Thank you.
See you, buddy. That's the Coach Q Show, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint.
You know, never take advantage, for granted making the playoffs. Look at the LA Kings are out. The right. Philadelphia Flyers. I mean, these are two teams that the Blackhawks have faced in the postseason in recent years, right?
Beat the Flyers for a cup and played the Kings. The Kings were always a pain to the end.
Dallas is out. They made the playoffs. They won the division last year.
And not only do we expect the Hawks as an automatic playoff team, we expect them to win.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Detroit. Look at Detroit. Their streak was broken this year.
You know who we ought to talk to again because we haven't had him on in a while is Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was an April Fool's joke that got floated around that Jerry Jones was going to hire Jimmy Johnson to come back. And one of the great things that Jerry never got that Rocky's always gotten is, I own it. Yeah, I'm going to make decisions. But I'm not going to hang around in the dressing room. Right. I'm not going to tell John McDonough how to run it.
Yeah,
pretty smart. Pretty smart.
I'm not going to be the one who's going to be out there commenting on team personnel moves.
Right. Right. That's Jay. Jay's out there all the time going, what are we doing?
Yeah. Where's the mic?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I traded in my cleats for some dancing shoes, and I'm having fun. When a unique opportunity like this comes available and they ask you, you're such an honor, one, to be asked, and just to do something so far out of my comfort zone and unique, it's just a lot of fun. I'm learning a lot about myself, and it's been a good distraction for me from, missing baseball. I was out in spring training, and, I miss those guys a lot and that competition. So this is giving me, I'm competing with myself and trying to get better at dancing and having some fun with it. So it's been great for me.
9:10, David Plyer talked to David Ross about Dancing with the Stars. So we dragged David in here and Mary Vandeveld.
Good morning.
Your full David Ross interview at WGNRadio.com?
That is correct.
Okay. All right, let's go back to last week. How's he doing, Mary? You're the expert here.
A week one was great because he did Cubs Go with the cha-cha. Great. He did great marks. Everyone loved him. Last week he did Bust a Move. Yeah, he almost busted his pants. It wasn't, I don't know. I wasn't real thrilled with it.
That was his favorite song, like growing up.
Yeah,
right,
growing up, his favorite
Why
song.
Why would you take like a really white guy and have him do Bust a Move?
Yeah, he didn't get as good of marks, but the crowd just loves him so much that I think he's going to go probably at least halfway.
Yeah, he's so lovable.
If not more. Yeah, they all love him.
He's like the race car driver last time. Everyone really liked him.
Yes, everybody loved him.
I was surprised that nobody has him. The staff actually picks all the songs and the music they dance to. I thought they had some kind of say in it. It was literally they come up with a list every week and they tell them you're going to go learn this and that's the end.
Well, I think
of
they
it,
have to have some kind of balance, right? Just knowing how to put a TV show together, you got to have some balance. Everybody can't do Bust a Move.
No,
right.
So who is his pro?
Not Sharma.
It's Lindsay.
Lindsay, yes. The young Lindsay. Yeah. And she, Lindsay.
She's kicking the crap out of him, he said.
She's tough.
Yeah,
she's very tough.
He said that they were practicing 6 days a week. They started March 1st, so they only had a couple weeks to practice. They were doing 6 days a week. He's doing it all in Tallahassee, so they send the entire crew down to his neck of the woods so he can still take his kids to school.
So he lives in Tallahassee?
So he's doing it all in Tallahassee.
Yeah, so he's only out in L.A. to promote some stuff and then actually do the show, and then the next morning he flies back with Lindsay and the choreographers and the team because he said he wants to take his kids to school. He's coaching. Think about that. He's coaching his kids' baseball team.
I'd like to be the other dads.
Yeah, right. No pressure
hey,
there.
Hey, coach, I had a thought on hit and run. Yeah, okay, what's your thought?
Yeah.
But he's having fun?
Yeah, he's having a good time. He's absolutely having a good time. He really didn't have a lot of confidence in himself. He knows nothing about dancing. So he said this challenged him a little bit, and that's why he wanted to do it.
And he has quick feet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
catcher.
Yeah, he has to. Yeah, I was going to say.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Will he ever do a song in full catcher's gear? Yeah, that'd be good.
Well, he was in his Cubs uniform already, and he gives Lindsay his catcher's thing to try on.
He was in
the
sparkly Cubs uniform. Yeah,
I'm sure they'll bring that back, don't you think? They always bring back like the race car or something like that. I bet they'll do something with the catcher's
the thematic
mask.
Stuff.
The thematics, maybe with the mask. Yeah.
All right. Of all the dances they have to do, expert, what's the toughest one going to be for him?
For him, probably I would say one where he has to be in frame, so the waltz or the foxtrot are going to be tough for him. I think
just the more structured stuff,
The tango that'll be hard. Paso Doble, he'll be fine. He can just act tough in that.
Is the Paso Doble where they're on their knees?
They're like the bullfighter one where they ole ole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
Like
with that one. That one's more a show anyway.
Is the tango the one where you're always uncomfortable that the wives are watching or the husbands are watching in the audience because you're like,
where
you kick the leg,
the Argentine tango is very seductive as well, or the modern.
Yeah.
He might have a problem with the modern dance, but
so David Plyer. Did he mention at all that the cast is more afraid or less afraid of Charo than we would expect?
He mentioned about Charo and Mr. T, that he was a little concerned about those two.
Well, Mr. T, I think, is okay, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But Charo's nuts.
Yeah, she is. And I don't even know how old she is now. She likes.
She doesn't know how old she is. Yeah.
It's all up in the air. They're calling her 65.
I'm not kidding. There are internet age estimates of her from 60. Not a chance to 80.
Yeah, right. It's frightening what she's done to her face.
She's very scary looking. Yeah, yeah. She's had so much work done.
Look, when we were little kids,
her nose is
she was on, it wasn't Laughing, but she was on all those variety shows.
Love Boat.
But she was on early 70s stuff.
Yeah.
And her hair was the same that it is now.
So even if she was 18 or 20 then, you're talking about 1950, which makes her almost 70 now.
Yeah.
But her legs do look fantastic.
But there was a whole bunch of controversy, too, with her birth certificate, because Wikipedia initially had her age as 60, and everybody said, there's no way she's 60.
Please.
No.
Then they upped it to 70. Yeah. So now, again, it's that whole
I think she's 75, but she looks fantastic. You know, Tina Turner, she's got that Tina Turner thing.
Yeah.
Tina Turner looked that great.
Tina Turner looks fantastic. Yeah.
So, she'd be good to have on Dancing with the Stars.
All right, now who's left on the show?
Well, everybody. I mean,
they haven't eliminated many yet?
Nancy Kerrigan.
Oh, they just got rid of the Saturday Night Live.
Chris Kattan. And Simone Biles, the gymnast, and Nancy Kerrigan, Heather Morris, the Glee backup dancer, which is a little ridiculous. Who else do we have? The Bachelor, Nick.
The reality TV woman.
There's
a reality TV woman who's really kind of obnoxious.
Yes.
She's the look at me, look
Erica.
How sexy I am, like I have giant boobs.
Erica Girardi.
Is that it? I don't know.
Yes, very rich. You know, she's got a lot of money, so they always show her in her big mansion.
And she's married to a super old guy.
They've never shown him.
Is that how that goes?
I don't know.
It's a Charo move.
It's a Charo move,
Rashad Jennings, the football player, he's left. He's super good.
So the people you've seen, who's going to win?
I like Rashad Jennings. Simone Biles, I'm saying no. She's the gymnast, so she's going to be everyone's favorite, but I don't know.
But last year, the gymnast won.
She did.
So I don't think they're going to have
But she had that huge smile. And
you know, she's just, Heather Morris is good, too.
Yeah,
but
from Glee. I mean,
you know,
she's been dancing for like years.
But she's a backup dancer, so she's a hip-hop dancer. You know who I think really
That's why I lost when I was on, because I was a pip.
Yeah.
So I only had pip moves.
To me, the Fifth Harmony dancer is really good right now. Normani Corday is her name. From Fifth Harmony. She's super good.
Is it me or there's not as many familiar faces on the show this round?
Is there a chance David Ross could squeak through to the late rounds?
Yes. To the late rounds?
Yeah.
Most definitely. They always have somebody squeaking.
I think everyone's been very surprised at what he's been able to do. Yeah.
We'll see if he can handle the frame, the evil frame.
Yeah. Is there a chance that, who's the little Italian judge?
Bruno?
Is there a chance that Bruno at some point will actually lose it completely and have some sort of scratch your eyes out fight with Charles?
That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
That would be awesome.
Carrie Ann Inaba is actually getting mad at her, too, so we'll
see. You said that last week he was a little weaker doing his dance, David Ross. So, you know, I don't know if he's going to make it. I think he'll make it maybe midway. A couple more midway. That's what I'm going to
do. You were asking last week if anyone ever says no to Dancing with the Stars. And we watched the Dave Chappelle comedy special this weekend, and he said, you know, his career is washed up if you ever see him on Dancing with the Stars.
You see Dave Chappelle on Dancing with the Stars?
He'd never do it.
He moves slower than I do.
Yeah.
It's
a
circling the drain moment for some people, but you look at a guy like David Ross, he couldn't be any, you know, more in the spotlight these days.
And he's the first baseball player to
first
be on
MLB
the show.
Guy. Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
You know, the Chicago Celebrities Dancing with the Stars thing, they've asked me to do it every year. And I said, I'm going to need another 4 or 5 years to train.
Right. Shots in your knees, that would do it.
Yeah.
So,
but I'd hold off.
All right, so David Ross is having a good time.
Having a good time, and he's got a new book coming out. So, like, on May 9th, he's doing this. So he said he's retired, you know, so he's going to do a lot of this in Tallahassee. He's the, like, assistant operations guy for the Cubs now, but he's got this new book out called Teammate, My Journey in Baseball and a World Series for the Ages, kind of talking about, you know, his journey and how he got there and the people he's met along the way and what he's learned. And they've already signed him to a movie deal. Like, this book is already going to be turned into a movie.
Well, that's kind of cool.
So I asked him who would play him, and I suggested Brad Pitt, and he found that quite funny. He's like, "Yeah, no, it's gonna." He goes, "It's really hard to write a book, and when you barely read."
Well, what didn't they call him Gramps on the team?
Yeah, Grandpa Rossi,
first time grandfather.
Yes, yeah,
come on. There you go.
There you go.
As long as I don't have to crouch.
Yeah.
Somebody come in and crouch for me.
Or pasa doble.
You could have a body double come in and do that, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, I did that in the 90s.
You know, with all the body doubling you've done for Denzel and everybody like that, they could stand
Denzel's
in for
ass double.
Yeah, they
Kevin
could,
Costner's
they
ass
could
double.
Stand in for you
in
for
the
a
90s?
Dance.
No problem. Yeah. Was that a KDWB thing?
No, I mean, throughout the 90s, I just felt like my ass had 10 great years. Yeah.
That was it.
That it did.
Really did.
Wow.
All right, so again, if people want to hear your full David Ross interview, David Plyer, where do they get it?
WGNradio.com. You can go to my page, Dave Plyer Show.
All right, and a friendly bet between the two of you for, let's say, I don't know, $1,000.
Yeah.
You pick an ultimate winner?
I'm going to say, I kind of like Heather Morris. I do. Yeah. I like Heather Morris in this whole
thing. Okay, you got to pick somebody else.
I'm picking that Normani Corday.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
You got one?
I'm going to go with Simone. I don't think she's going to win, but, you know, they always love the gymnast. They got the moves.
I'm going to go with Mr. T.
I'm going with Rashad Jennings, too. Ooh, it's
I think Heather Morris is cute. I love her. She's a natural cute. She has no work done.
But,
as
you know,
far as
she
know.
Lost her partner, Max, because he has that knee injury.
That's right.
So she's with, what's the other one's name?
Can we get Tom and, what's co-host? I forgot her name.
Aaron Andrews.
Can we get Tom and Aaron Andrews to dance so they talk less? I don't know why. They seem more annoying to me this year.
Tom.
The two of them are bothering me this year.
She's really bugging a lot of people this year.
Yeah, so. She really is. Yeah.
All right, Dave, thanks for your help on this.
I was going to give you my pick.
Oh,
Dave, go ahead.
Oh, I thought you were
Are you watching
Dave
the show?
Dave. No.
No, you're not at all.
Mr. T, are you going to pick Mr. T?
I asked Dave Bennett for his pick, and he goes, North Carolina. Thank you, David Plyer. 9:20, back after this on 720 WGN. Back live on SEAL TV and on 720 WGN, the Steve Cochran Show. You can see Ro and Anna and Violetta and her new blonde hair and Kevin's original hair this afternoon.
Kevin's got a beard now, too.
Kevin
Powell is growing a beard.
I didn't know he could do that.
Yeah, he did. He's trying to emulate his idol Dave Ennett, I think.
Hmm.
Although Kevin's beard is more reddish.
Yes, it is.
Like a Viking.
I'm not seeing it, but Kevin will be on with us here in a few minutes after the Cubs-Cardinals opener last night. He was in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
So at 9:25, I want to play a couple pieces of sound from the Sunday morning shows. Chuck Todd was great yesterday on Meet the Press. You'll remember a year or so ago, Mitch McConnell was on this show. Pardon me, my voice is still a little thin as I'm trying to get back to some sort of form of healthy. But when Mitch McConnell was on here promoting his book, I was kind of tough on him about the fact that he was blocking a Supreme Court nominee and essentially had hijacked or stolen the seat. That's still the case, and he makes that point clear here, but Chuck wouldn't let up on him. Here's Chuck Todd giving it to Mitch McConnell yesterday on Meet the Press.
Should that be the policy going forward? Are you prepared to pass a resolution that says, in election years, any Supreme Court vacancy and have it to be the sense of a Senate resolution that say no Supreme Court nominations will be considered in any even-numbered year? Is that where we're headed?
Chuck, with all due respect, that's an absurd question. We were right in the middle of a presidential election year. Everybody knew that neither side, had the shoe been on the other foot, would have filled it. But that has nothing to do with what we're voting on this year. Why don't we talk about what we're voting on this week? And that's this extraordinarily well-qualified nominee for the U.S. Supreme Court.
Do you have all 52 Republicans ready to stand behind you that if the Democrats filibuster Neil Gorsuch, you have the votes to change the rules?
Yeah, what I can tell you is that Neil Gorsuch will be confirmed this week. How that happens really depends on our Democratic friends.
He is the worst Senate leader since Harry Reid. Oh, wait, that's the last Senate leader. But he truly is. Now, before I get to Chuck Schumer, who is a complete fool as well in the way he's handling this, the Republicans and the Democrats are both a joke. One thing you got to remember about Mitch McConnell, he is saying, I will do anything. I will break the rules. I'll do everything within my power to make sure Neil Gorsuch is confirmed. This, and as far as his nonsense about last year, because I'm still so aggravated by this. We have three co-equal branches of government, one of which was hijacked by the Senate Republicans last year. Yes. And the fact of the matter is, all they had to do was take a vote. If you didn't want to vote for Merrick Garland, I don't know Merrick Garland. I don't know if he would have been worthy or not. I don't know what would come up in the hearings because he never had the hearings. But the specific reason he didn't put him up for a hearing was it was an election year. And in an election year, he knew if he put him up for a hearing, he knew he was qualified. He knew he would come across well. And he would know that if he put him up for public inspection through hearings, there's no way that the Republicans could say no to the guy without losing some potential seats in the House and the Senate. And as far as it being in the middle of an election year, it was January. We were at the Iowa primaries.
Yes, remember that? And it was, and you even said at the time, there's 11 months left to go. Yeah, the presidency doesn't end at 7 years and
that's exactly right.
1 month.
So essentially, really, I should be more fair about this. He actually, Mitch McConnell actually hijacked two of the three co-equal branches of government because he did it the executive branch as well. Mm-hmm. Now, the Democrats screwed up because they didn't fight it harder last year. Chuck Schumer continues to screw it up because Gorsuch is going to get in. And Schumer says this.
It looks like Gorsuch will not reach the 60-vote margin. So instead of changing the rules, which is up to Mitch McConnell and the Republican majority, why doesn't President Trump, Democrats, and Republicans in the Senate sit down and try to come up with a mainstream nominee? Look, when a nominee doesn't get 60 votes, you shouldn't change the rules. You should change the nominee. And let's just take, give me 1 minute here.
We don't have time to give you a full minute, but Chuck is as big a problem as Mitch McConnell. Nancy Pelosi's a problem. The leadership in Washington is the problem. Let's move on. I don't care how much money they raise for you. Let's get rid of Nancy Pelosi. Let's get rid of Chuck Schumer. Let's get rid of Mitch McConnell. At some point, Paul Ryan's got to get it together, or he's got to go as well.
Yep. The hypocrisy is just maddening.
It's ridiculous.
Because everybody sees it.
So if the Democrats want to score points, in my view, you go out and you say Gorsuch will be confirmed. And the fact of the matter is, going forward in this, we want to make sure that the Supreme Court has 9 seats because that's what the Constitution intended.
That's right.
And that's the right thing to do. And campaign on the fact that you are the grown-ups in the room. Don't make a bad problem worse.
Right. The fact that there's only been 8 justices for 11 months, almost a year now, it's not an excuse.
And you go to the next one now because you're probably going to have another resignation for health reasons or otherwise before the year's up. And maybe you do that without a filibuster. And there ought to be a 60-vote minimum to confirm a Supreme Court judge. It's a lifetime appointment. If you can't reach 60, that's a different story. But for Chuck Schumer to say we're going to get another judge now, well, shut up. No, you're not. It's 9:30. Back next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Never not funny. Nice job, Jake, as always. 9:44, we're live on CLTV and on 720 WGN. Kevin Powell joins us. Are you back yet, or are you still on the road?
I'm still on the road, just getting through Redbird Nation, Steve, Fear the Bird, Bloomington Normal.
Did you pass the exits in Bloomington Normal?
I'm actually right in front of it. I can see the sign that says Illinois State, Illinois Wesleyan.
Oh, well, you get off on Veterans Parkway and go, go over there. Everything you ever need is on Veterans Parkway.
Pretty much everything you could ever want.
Yeah.
Fear the Bird.
Yeah. So you were there last night. Cubs get 3 in the ninth to look like they were going to do that Cub thing again. And then what happened?
The relievers just didn't get it done. I mean, Carlos Martinez for the Cardinals, their starting pitcher, was next to unhittable yesterday. There's nothing really to worry about much. Chris Bryant had a rare off game, 3 strikeouts. That's something you don't see a whole lot.
Yeah, I think you got
to
trade him. That's obviously over.
Yeah, I would say trade him, cut Rizzo, and fire Madden.
That's what
I'm
talking
alarms
about.
After the game one loss here.
Yep.
But
yep.
I don't think there's much to worry about starting on the road against a rival. And they ran into one of the best pitchers in the division, one of the best pitchers in the National League. So nothing really to worry about. But once again, I mean, this team, I don't care how many runs they're down late in the game. It always feels like they have a chance to come back. And you know, I understand the frustration Cub fans have for Jason Hayward, but every single one of his teammates praised him in the locker room after the game with that hustle play in the ninth that kept the rally going. His speed, his base running skills, he gets on, and then Contreras does his thing. So just game one, chalk it up as a pitcher's duel. It didn't go their way. And John Lester, I guess it's a testament to how good he is, because he really wasn't on, and he held the Cardinals to just one run. So it looked like the Cubs, as we've seen all last year, they never quit, and it turned out to be a really fun game.
Dave had an amazing statistic earlier. This is the first time the Cubs have been below 500 win.
Well, since they lost to the Cardinals 2 years ago on opening night, when that was Lester's first start.
How about that? 2 years in a row above 500 until last night.
Yeah. Because
unbelievable.
From that point on, they've had a winning record. That one run that Lester allowed last night, Kev, there's a backstory to it, which is that weird ground ball that Javi Baez obviously didn't see. And it turns out, and this is a problem I think a lot of ballparks now, they have to be careful with it. The first year the Cubs had the video boards and that big LED board in right field, there were problems with it. This is one of those the rotators behind home plate.
They change, but they're
brightly lit. And this was what, a white sign
and a white baseball coming out of a white sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a weird thing when it first happened. I thought the ball maybe had skipped off the mound and took like a weird spin and bounced in a weird direction. And then as we're kind of looking and watching, and there's a delay in the game because Madden was talking to the umpires, and he said, you're going to need to change that sign. So it went from an all-white MLB at-bat advertisement to a dark blue new era cap advertisement. But it was weird. I hadn't seen anything. But you've seen that in stadiums, like you guys just said. I think it's down in Tampa. They have their ceiling is white. There's been times where guys are in the outfield and they look like they can't even find the ball.
Well, the Metrodome, the old Metrodome in Minneapolis was like that. The one in Tampa, there's a ground rule, a local ground rule, that if the ball bonks off the rafters, because they've got these things support the roof, the catwalk, I believe it's a ground rule double. Isn't that right? Or is it a do-over?
Yeah, that does sound right. But you think when you were constructing a stadium, you wouldn't paint the ceiling white. It doesn't seem like that's ideal.
But the bottom line here is the Cardinals are cheaters. The Cardinals are cheaters, and they had the white thing flash at the right time. They timed it out that way. They're big cheaters.
I did think it was interesting, though, to keep the rivalry going. I didn't think it was a coincidence that the Cardinals had four of their World Series trophies out behind home plate before the game, and they trotted out some of their legends. It just sort of felt like, to me, it was kind of a jab to the Cubs saying, yeah, I know, you got one, but we have 11, and we've got four over the past, 20, 30 years or so.
No question that's what they were doing.
Yeah, so they paraded those trophies out. I love the rivalry, though, and I think the players do, too.
What is the name of the female broadcaster that's doing the games now on ESPN?
Oh, that's
three women.
Blanking, but
three in the booth, and Dave's going to look it up. Anyway, she's really good.
Oh, she's very good.
She's really good.
I'm blanking on her name, too.
Well, let's get her name out, because she's really good, and it's her second season now.
She replaced Kurt Schilling, I believe.
The outspoken Kurt Schilling. So I think it's
a good call.
I thought it was Kruk.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Didn't you replace Kruk?
Well, Kruk's out this year, but was he on Sunday nights? I'm trying to remember. Jessica Mendoza.
Steve Alexander knows a lot of baseball folks because of his other life. Mm-hmm. Steve, Jessica Mendoza, is she as cool as she appears?
I don't know her that well, but I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's great. And I think she's a great addition to the booth.
Yeah.
That broadcast, though, for a good tight 1-0 game late, those guys sounded bored, and it was the opening night. I didn't get it. Did anybody else get that vibe, or was
no,
it just me?
I didn't.
Yeah, but it's, you know, this is like professional courtesy. It's another play-by-play person, so you're going to go, oh, they're great.
Dan Shulman is excellent. He does a great job.
I like Dan.
Job.
I just didn't think they sounded as into it or not. I was looking for a woo at some point.
Well, a woo.
I don't know what your guys' thoughts are. I know they've been doing it for a while now. The opening game is the Sunday night primetime game, but I think it's fairly new to have a full schedule of games on Sunday. They had three games yesterday.
Yeah.
I just like the traditional. Like, today feels like opening day to me. I like that. The
Monday
World
should
Series
be opening day.
Sunday night is cool to put the World Series champs on showcase. But watching some of those, it felt like, this is a spring training game? What am I watching here? It just seems a little odd. I enjoyed the full Monday opening day to start the season.
And that crew, by the way, is going to do another game tonight, I think, in Texas. So, I mean, there's a lot of TV baseball here the first 2 days.
Yeah, you can't get away from a game. Steve Alexander, Dave and I and you, we remember a time where the game of the week with Kurt Gowdy and Tony Kubek was something you planned your Saturdays around.
Dizzy Dean.
Yeah. And you go a whole season. You can go five seasons and never see a team you'd see in the World Series. And that's why the All-Star game was such a big deal, because you never saw the other league.
Well, that's why I was a Yankees fan growing up, because that was the only team I saw on TV a lot.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, now you can watch every minor league baseball game if you really want to, if you pay for the online digital package. I was actually joking with Adam Hogue yesterday.
I heard you talking about this. Yeah, I heard you talking about this yesterday on the beat. How much does it cost?
I think it's $13 for the month, but if you're a White Sox fan, you get to see all the prospects play in AAA Charlotte. It's going to be a stacked team. You've got Moncada you can watch. Yep. I mean, it's an all-star of prospect, so maybe worth the White Sox fans if you want to invest $13.
Yeah, and I also would say, if you're watching a month full of minor league baseball for prospects, you're probably not married or don't have a girlfriend. So,
Kevin, how's Wrigley in the surrounding area looking? I know everything's not going to be ready for this opening day, but boy, I drove up there the other day and it just looked like a whole new Wrigleyville.
Yeah, it seems like the Cubs are pretty much just going to own all of Wrigleyville.
Can you go up Clark anymore? Right? Is that all shut down?
Yeah, well, you can, but a portion of it was closed down because of the construction. But there's going to be like an overpass right there, Kev?
Well, that's the plan eventually once that hotel's complete. What do you want to call it? There's going to be a little, almost little park there.
Yeah, the plaza. Like the plaza is opening this week.
I must say the complex, but yeah, the plaza.
Or next week.
And you know the really good guy that owned the McDonald's that we parked next to forever?
Yeah.
I hope they hire him at the hotel to tell people they can't come in to pee unless they're a customer. Because that would be like the old days.
Right. It'll be like the concierge.
Yeah. One note to you, Kev. This is from a texter, 630. What the hell's the rush to get back, Paul? You sleep 4 hours and hit the road to get to Bloomington by now? What's your hurry?
Well, I'm headed up to Guaranteed Rate Field, so we'll talk to Rick Hahn and Rick Renteria before they start their 2017 campaign.
All right, go Sox. I hope it's a good year. I know it's not supposed to be, but I hope they surprise some people.
Yeah, it's weird. White Sox fans are excited about this year, even though everybody pretty much expects them to not be good, at least especially in a month or so when Moncada and some of these other prospects, Giolito, are up in the big. So I think Sox fans are actually interested in this year, although they're going to lose some games. This is step one, sort of what the Cubs did 5 years ago. This is the beginning of hopefully something bigger on the south side.
It doesn't take 5 years. All right, nice job, but I can't see your beard, but I assume it's great.
It looks great, Kevin.
It's an attempt at a beard. I'm still working on it.
Yeah, you may want to get CLTV a new picture that looks older than the one you have for this beard thing's going to stay.
Which picture is it?
They're using, apparently, your sixth grade graduation picture. All right. Bill and Wendy coming up on 720 WGN. Your Hawks Express. You know, if the Hawks lose, we're not going to make a federal case out of it. Sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing.
3-2, the final score favoring the Boston Bruins.
There's a complete replay of last night, or yesterday morning, I should say, Hawks-Bruins game. Oh, and you know what? We haven't done the Madigan game.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, today's a perfect day to do it. We should do it every day. But Mike Madigan, the Speaker of the House, now in show number 874 of not showing up, though he continues to be invited. Is he coming on before we're done? Nope. You know what that means? Sound of the crickets means seventh caller is a big winner, because even when Madigan helps make us lose, you should win something, and I've got prizes for you. 312-981-7200, and Bill and Wendy are next.